Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Very good. Very good. I like the way you said that. It may seem to you that I'm a little bit behind the times, but I'm compelled. I'm compelled to learn the Haftarah of this past Shabbos. Even though usually I learn the Haftarah of the Shabbos to come, but since I, for unforeseen reasons, I was not able to be here last week, and since last week's Haftarah is one that I profoundly love, as I have to say the Shir. And the message of the Shir is a timeless one, I believe. And that means, of course, that next week, Yirat Hashem, we will continue to fall behind, and we'll only catch up after Shuas. You know, I really don't know what we're going to do after Shuas, because next week is Parashat Bamidbar, and we started learning Haftarahs a year ago, Parashat Bamidbar. But then again, there are some special Haftarahs for Yom Tovim and others. Maybe I'll do that. I really haven't decided yet, but you'll be the last ones to find out when you get into class. The Haftarah of Behar. Right, now we put everything on. Good morning. The Haftarah of Parashat Behar. It's from Sefer Yirmiyahu. The Haftarah of this week, Parashat Bechukotai, is also from Yirmiyahu. We're going to get two looks at Yirmiyahu this week and in Yetz Hashem next week. Rather than talk at great length about what a fascinating Haftarah this is, we're just going to learn the Haftarah. And I just hope that I'll get to say everything that I want to say. Vayomer Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu said, Hayad dvar Hashem elai lemor, the word of God came to me, saying. There's a little background. This is chapter 32, and it's Pasuk 6 in chapter 32. The first five psukim of chapter 32 give us the historical background. Number one, Yirmiyahu finds himself now the Chatzar HaMatara. Chatzar HaMatara, a jail, a dungeon, someplace deep below the palace of the king. You have to imagine in your mind's eye something like the Bastille. Jean Valjean, Les Miserables. There are people who are schlepping around in torn and tattered clothing. It's dark. Most probably there are rats skipping around. It's a terrible, terrible place. Yirmiyahu had been put in the Chatzar HaMatara. By the way, I think he may very well have been the first one who was put in administrative detention in Jewish history. He is being held there, the Pasuk says, because he's been walking the streets of Yerushalayim saying that the city is going to fall into the hands of the Babylonians. King Sidkiyahu is going to be taken into captivity. And that's it. It's all over. It's all over. The Psukim also tell us precisely when this is happening. It's in the 10th year of Sidkiyahu. And it is the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. The 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Churban HaBayit, the destruction of first Beit HaMikdash, is going to take place a year from now, in the 11th year of Chizkiyahu, which corresponds to the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar. We're even going to hear within the chapter itself, we're going to hear that Yirmiyahu talks about Hinei hasololot ba'u ha'ir. The battering rams are already surrounding the city. It's very fascinating. he's down there deep, deep below the palace of the king, and with his eyes he sees what's going on all over. He knows exactly what's happening. It means the city that has already been in siege for 2 years, is being upgraded now. The siege is taking on a completely new character. We're getting ready for the main assault on the city. That's the background. Vayomer Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu says, Hoyo Dvar Hashem Elai L'Amor, God had said to me, so saying. You know what God has told me? You know, it means that he received this prophecy while he's down there in the dungeon. The word of God was to me the following: Hinei Hanameel ben Shalom Dodecha Bo'ilecha Leimar. Your cousin Hanameel, who is the son of Shalom, your uncle, is going to come. He is coming to you, and he's going to say the following to you: Kinei Lecha Et Sadi Asher Pa'anatot. Please purchase my field that is in Anatot. Kilcha Mishpat Hagula Liknot, because the law says that you have the right, maybe even the responsibility, to redeem the field and to buy it. Let me give you a little bit more background. Anatot is in the land of Binyamin. Anatot is already in enemy territory. The Babylonians already have Anatot. You can imagine now, come sell to Yirmiyahu down in the prison, go sell him a piece of land, you know. This is worse than the Brooklyn Bridge, you understand. A lot of people bought the Brooklyn Bridge, but this is, he asks him, and not only asks him, but he tells him that it's your responsibility to do this. By the way, this Hashem telling him that this is what's going to happen. Yes?
What does he mean?
Mishpat Ha-Geula. So here, I have to take you to Parashat Bahar. Bahar says, in one of the parashot in Parashat Bahar is, if your brother is going to be in difficult straits, and he's going to sell his field, he'll have to sell his field because he needs money. Now the fact is that ultimately when Yovel comes, the field is going to go back to him. But between now and Yovel, so there are a number of options, the Torah says. One option is that a member of his family should come and redeem the field and take possession and hold it for the owner. There is another possibility that at some point in time the owner himself is going to be able to raise enough money to buy the field back. But whenever we're talking about a sale of a field, there is no such thing as a field that is ever sold in perpetuity, forever. Because the overriding message of all of Parashat Bahar begins at the very beginning of the Seder, that talks about the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, that we're not permitted to work the land in those years, and the underlying reason for everything is Kili Kol Haaretz. The land belongs to me, God says, and therefore since the land belongs to me, I'm the one who decides what happens with the real estate of that land. And one of the basic laws is that just about under all circumstances, land returns to its original owner, so that everybody should still have their share in Eretz Yisrael. There are other circumstances, for example, when one sanctifies his field, he says it should be Kodesh, it should belong to the Bet HaMikdash. Then if he does not redeem it and Yovel comes, it doesn't return to him in Yovel, but it goes to the Kohanim. So there's a mishpat, there's a law of redemption. That's what they're talking about. The mishpat of Geula. The word Geula does not mean over here.
But from whom did he have to redeem? What happened? What was the cause of his having to redeem it? That's what I wanted to
say. Of who's having to redeem him? Because Hanameel, who is in need of money, is going to sell it to somebody else. But the first right of purchase should be given to family. So therefore, he comes to Yirmiyahu, and it's amazing that they let him in. Because they really, the fact is that Tzidkiyahu wanted Yirmiyahu, in fact, I mean, I'm not making a joke when I say that he wanted him in administrative detention, because Tzidkiyahu held that Yirmiyahu walking in the streets of Yerushalayim while the city is under siege, and he's saying in the name of God that the battle is lost, it's all over. Do you know what kind of a negative effect that has on the defenders of the city? The king has that. It can't do it. We can't have Yirmiyahu walking around the streets saying that. So he's put in detention. So it wasn't simple that people were permitted to get into him. But this is all being divinely orchestrated. You understand? We're talking about one of the most surrealistic sales of all. You're going to have to imagine here this dark area deep below the king's palace. Detainees, prisoners are walking around really in torn and tattered rags. And you know what's going to take place over here? A sale. Megate Nachum business. Goes to real estate business. And what kind of real estate business? Real estate that for all intents and purposes isn't worth a cent. Watch. Yirmiyahu said, the word of God came to me that my cousin, Hananel, the son of Shalom, is going to come and say, buy the field. And you know what happened? Hananel, my cousin, came, Kedvar Hashem, exactly as God said, El Chatzar HaMatabai, comes down there in the courtyard of detention, down below. He said to me, "Kneino, please purchase et sodi asher banatot, my field that is in Anatot, asher be'eretz Binyamin, that is in the land of Binyamin." Land of Binyamin has already fallen long ago to the Babylonians. Ki l'chom mishpat ha-Yerushal, because you, the law of inheritance applies to you, and because the law of inheritance applies to you, l'cho ha-geula, so you have either the right or the responsibility to redeem the field. Kneiloch, buy it. Voida. I knew, of course, Kidvar Hashem. This is all the word of God. I mean, nobody in their right mind would buy this field. Ve'eknet ha'sodem yeid Hananel ben dodi asher banatot. I purchased the field from Hananel, my cousin, who is in Anatot. The field that is in Anatot. In other words, they want to make sure. It sounds at some points the psukim sound like a document. You know, there's the party of the first part and there's the party of the second part, and they have to tell you exactly where the field is. It's in Anatot. A number of times it's going to say that it's in the land of Binyamin. It's Gush 253, Chelka 17, number who knows what by Minhal Mekarke Yisrael. And he's selling, and I purchased it. Ve'eshkala lo et ha-kesef, and I weighed out the silver. It was Shiva Shkalim v'asara ha-kesef. Precisely what would have been the value of this field. We're talking about coins of silver, which would have been most probably the value of the field during some kind of a real estate boom. Right now, it's bust. It's worthless. And I did it. Ve'echtov ba'sefer, everything was done legally. I wrote it on a document, ve'echtov, and it was signed. Ve'oed edim, I can imagine, to convicts in their tattered clothing over there are signing on this document. Maybe there's one candle, and by the light of this candle they are writing this document. And I had witnesses, Veshkola Kesed the Moznayim. Somehow or other there comes a scales, and they weighed out the money to make sure that this is 7 shekel and 10 coins of kesef. Voyakachet sefer amikne et hachatum. I took the document of sale and with the signatures hamitzvah v'hachukim v'hakalui. What all of these mean are different parts of the document. It was quite a fascinating way this document was put together. it seems that what they used to do is they would write the contract, then they would cover it over, staple it. In those days they didn't have staplers, so they sealed or sewed it together, and then the witnesses signed on the outside, and down at the bottom was the galui, the revealed part of the document, where in very brief form they would say what the contents of this was. If they ever had to check, they would open it up and they would check the witnesses and all the rest. All of this was done. And I gave this document of sale, I gave it to Baruch ben Neriah ben Machsia, le'enei Hanameel Dodi, in the eyes of Hanameel. The Mepharshim say that it doesn't really mean Dodi, you know, but as you know, everybody is a Dode to everybody else around this country. It not only goes back to the days of Yirmiyahu. Anyway, I gave it to him, I gave it to Baruch ben Neriah, this is the first time Baruch ben Neriah appears, and Baruch ben Neriah is the one who is going to be the leader of the Jewish people after Yirmiyahu. He's going to end up in Bavel, in exile. His great Talmud is going to be Ezra HaSofer. And Ezra HaSofer is not going to come back on Aliyah until Baruch ben Neriah, his Rebbe, dies. In the eyes of Chanameel, Ule'enei Ha'edim, in the eyes of the witnesses, HaKotvim B'Sefer HaMikna, who wrote their signatures into this document of sale, Le'enei Kol HaYehudim HaYoshim B'Chatzar HaMatana, in the eyes of all of the Jews, all of the detainees that are there. Wa'atzaveh Baruch Le'enei Le'enor, and in their presence, I commanded Baruch, saying, Kol HaShem Tzvachot HaLekei Yisrael. So says the God of hosts, the God of Israel, Korach Tassorim Ha'ele, take these documents. Et Sefer HaMikna has there, Ve'et HaChatum, that Sefer HaGalui has there. All of these documents. Unitatem B'Klei Chodos, you should give it and put it in an earthenware document, Maman Yam Yamim Rabin, so that it should last for many years. He's taking this sale, or this purchase, very, very seriously. Any observer would think it's one big joke. Any observer would think these people are absolutely stark, raving mad. They're out of their minds. It's an enemy territory. Who says we'll ever be able to get to it? Now you're buying real estate. And then he says, because so says the God of hosts of the king, so the God of Israel, Od Yikonu Batim the Sadot Uchramin Ba'aretz Hazot. There will yet come a time that they will purchase houses and fields and vineyards in this land. That's the message of this symbolic sale. Yirmiyahu is one of the prophets who is commanded by God to do all sorts of actions and deeds that are symbolic. Symbolism in a prophecy makes the prophecy concrete. It's not merely words anymore, that you will buy fields and vineyards. The prophecy now becomes alive, because the fact is that Yirmiyahu bought the field. I mean, we of course have the amazing perspective of history. We have the perspective of history. It was absolutely right. It was absolutely true. Oh, Yikonu, Batim, Sada, Zuchram, what are you talking about? The real estate market over here, you understand what you could have picked up for a song in the days of Yirmiyahu. If you'd lived so long, you'd be a multi-billionaire today. But of course, it takes a great deal of a great leap of faith. For Yirmiyahu, the leap of faith is a bit easier because God has in fact instructed him to purchase it. I was at a meeting last night of Rabbanim, yesterday in the afternoon, of Rabbanim, by Rabbi Avraham Shapiro, and we had all of the rabbis of Gush Katif. One of the problems that they're dealing with now is the farmers have to plant. The farmers have to plant. What do you do? banks don't want to give advance the money. It costs each farmer something like a half million shekel in order to plant. Will he ever harvest what he's going to plant? What's going to happen with that money? What's going to happen? Nobody has a clue. Do you understand what kind of a... we need a Yirmiyahu who's going to come down and say, oh, jikanu batim sados kram. So what we decided on doing is putting together a large sum of money and give loans to the farmers, and we're also going to take a great leap of faith. It's not simple. And so people are walking around, what do I do? If I don't plant, then I'm giving up. I do plant. How many people can just throw out half a million shekel? What a dilemma. What an awesome, frightening dilemma. One of many. Here, Yirmiyahu goes ahead, and in Gush Katif, 3 months before the disengagement, he buys land. He goes, buys it up. End of story. Part one of story. Now comes the prayer of Yirmiyahu. What a strange prayer. And that's what we're going to have to talk about. Before I should talk about it, I have my own approach. I have my own approach to it. V'etpalel al Hashem, I pray to God, acharei titi et sefer hamikneh borov ben neri olemor, after I gave the document, after I gave the contract to borov ben neri asosei. You'll see in a moment how very important it is that he says that he prays after he gave the bill of purchase to Baruch Ben Neriah. Aho Hashem Elokim, they, the Bein Shalom, Hine Atah Sita Tashamayim Vatarets, you made the heaven and the earth, V'chochacho HaGadol, with your great strength, U'bezroacho HaNetuyah, and with your outstretched arm, Lo Yipalei Mimcho Kol Dovar, nothing is concealed from before you. Bein Shalom, I have a problem. I have a problem. You are also chesed alofim, you do kindness for thousands of mishalim avon avot el chayt bneyem achareyem. You punish the sins of fathers upon sons who follow in their father's footsteps. You are Kael, Hagadol, Hagibah, the God who is great and mighty, Hashem Tzvakot Shabbat, the God of hosts, this is me. Gedol ha'etzah. This description of God is also Gedol Ha'etzah, your counsel and your ideas, your thoughts are great. V'ram Ha'aliliyah, your actions, what you have done, what you have done. Asher Einecho Pekuchot, your eyes are open and you see Kol Darkei Bnei Adam, all the things that men do. Lo Teit Li'ish Kidrachov, to give each man as are his ways, V'chifri Ma'alalav, and like the fruit of his deeds. That means there's a God that knows. These are basic and fundamental assumptions of Jewish belief. That God knows, there's hashgacha pratis, there's schar va'onesh, there's reward and punishment. Asher samto totem oftim beretz Mitzrayim, you made signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Ad hayom hazeh, we know about it until today. Ubi Yisrael Ba'adam, you made all sorts of miracles in Israel and in men. Vatarfo Hashem, you made yourself a great name, Kayom Hazeh. Vatotzei Atamki Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, you took your people Israel out of the land of Egypt, or taught them of them with signs and with miracles, Ubiyot Chazakam, with a strong hand, Ubez Roa Netuya, and an outstretched arm, Uva Mora Gadol, and with great awesomeness. Vatitin Lehem Et Ha'aretz Hazot, you gave them this land, Hashem Yivata Lavu Tamlat Et Lehem, that you swore to their fathers to give to them, you gave them Eretz Zavas Chalal and Vash. Okay? Vayavo, when they came and they inherited the land, Velo Shomu Bekolecha, they didn't listen to you. Ubetorat Chol Lo Halochu, they didn't go in your Torah. Et Kol Hashem Tzivita Lehem Lasot Lo Asu, whatever you commanded them to do, they didn't do. Vatakrei Otam Et Kol Aro Azot, all of this evil happened to them now. Right? I have a feeling that he's trying to jump the gun on the Rebbe Yishon. I know all about it. I know all about it. You know, I know that they didn't behave themselves. They didn't behave themselves. But despite that, what are you doing? Hinei ha'solot ba'u ha'ir. The solot They're the battering rams. They've come to the city, Lelachta, to capture the city. And the city is in the process of being given over into the hands of the Kavdim, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, who are waging war against the city. It's also going to fall because there's sword in the city, people are being killed, there's hunger, there's pestilence. Everything you told us, everything you sold, it happened to him, and you can see it. And you said to me, Hashem Elokim, Knei Lecha Hasodeh Bakesef, you tell me, under these circumstances, go ahead and buy the field with money for Ha'eid Eidim and have witnesses. What's the point of it all? The city has been given into the hands of the council. What's his prayer all about? What does he want? God had told him earlier, I want you to buy the field because the message is, O Yikonu Batim Sados Uchramin Baris Hazat. That was Pasuk 15, Pasuk Tet Vav. Kiko Omar Hashem Sakodu Lekei Yisrael. And he tells it to the people in the prison. That he's doing this and God commanded him to do this because there will come a time at which they're going to buy and sell land in this country. So he's been told already what it's all about. Well, what does he want? What's he asking for? What's his prayer all about? What does he want to accomplish? Now there's one significant thing that we can learn. I think there's a great example of it. The prayer begins after he gives the document to Baruch Ben Neriah. You know what that means? That means that Yirmiyahu has fulfilled everything that God demanded of him without question. He has fulfilled it completely, despite the fact that he may have all sorts of questions and doubts about it. But he does it all. You know what it reminds me? It reminds me of Avraham Avinu. God tells him to take Yitzchak and bring it as a sacrifice on the Akedah. Avram fulfills everything that God says until he's stopped in his tracks. And the Medrash says, after it's all over, and he comes down from the Akedah, Avram addresses God and he says, You know, Rabbi Yishalenu, that when you told me to take my one and only son and bring him as a sacrifice, you know that I could have asked you a very good question. I could have asked you the question, Etmol, yesterday you told me that Yitzchak is going to be the progenitor of a great nation, and today you tell me, bring him as a sacrifice. And I could have asked you a very, very difficult question. But I didn't. What Avraham is saying is, I accept without question the word of God. I do first, and I ask later. Yirmiyahu does the same thing. You want me to buy the field? I did this absolutely, legally, perfect. Everything. He couldn't have had a better contract than that. By the way, the contract remains alive ad hayom hazeh. Here it is, we have the chapter in Tanakh. What does he want in his prayer? You want me to purchase it? And the battering rams are now at the gates of the city. The city is in the process of falling. Didn't God tell you what it's all about? One of the Mefarshim says you have nothing here. I'll tell you when to go to the. These are just some notes that I wrote on my sticker paper. You don't have these notes there. Rabbi Yisachar Jacobson says that Yirmiyahu is a great believer. Of course, he's a great believer, but he's confused. He doesn't understand the. He doesn't understand the word of God. And in his confusion, in his inability to grasp, he turns to God. He doesn't understand the ways of God. It's like Moshe. Moshe asks God, "Tell me your ways. I want to understand your ways." Yirmiyahu doesn't understand the ways of God. God doesn't reprimand him for lack of faith. I still don't understand how that explains to us his prayer. I have a completely different approach to this prayer. I think that the key to unlock the strange chapter is because of one word that's missing. One word that's missing is the way to understand the chapter. And it's pointed out by our rabbis in the Gemara. If you take a look into Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, Ose Chesed La'lofim, God does kindness of thousands, U'mishalem Avon Avot El Chay B'neihem, Achareihem, Hakel, Hakadol, Hagibor, Vanora is missing. The Gemara says, now you may turn over to the other side. It's a Gemara that I've learned with you a number of times over the years in different contexts. But this is where it begins. The Gemara is down at the bottom of the page. You see where it's underlined over there, Domer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It's a great Gemara. It's a great Gemara. It's a Gemara that is so timely. It's unbelievable. It's contemporary relevance. Why were they called the men of the great assembly? Those who stood at the head of the Jewish people when they returned from the Babylonian exile. Why were they called the men of the great assembly? The Gemara answer is, they returned the crown to its original glory. What does it mean? What crown did they return to its original glory? Also Moshe. Moshe came, and in Torah, when he plays to Hashem, he calls Hashem Hakel, Hakadol, Hagibor, Vahanora, the great, the mighty, and the awesome. Also Yirmiyahu came, and that's right here. V'omar, and he said, Nachlin mekarkel in behechalo. Here it is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There are goyim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Where is the awesomeness of God? Where is the fear of God? Lo Omar Nora. He didn't say Nora. Couldn't say it. He refers to God as a Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor. That's it. Also, Daniel, afterwards in Bavel, Daniel in chapter 9. Praise to God, and you know what happened over there? Lo Amar Gibor. He referred to God as Hakel, Hagadol, but he couldn't call him Gibor. Nochnim mishtabdim bebonav, goyim enslave his people. Where is his might? So he didn't say Gibor. Also, in who comes after Yirmiyahu and Daniel? After Yirmiyahu and Daniel come the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, and they composed the Shmoneh Esrei. And what did they write in the Shmoneh Esrei? Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VeHanora. They returned the crown to its original glory. What Moshe says in Torah, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VeHanora, that's what they put into the Shmoneh Esrei. And why did they say that? So why did they do that? So he says, Amru, they said, Adarabah, precisely the opposite. Zuhi Gvurato, you know what God's might is? That he's able to control himself. Ezehu Gibor, HaKodesh Yitzro, he's able to control himself and he doesn't destroy the evil, those who enslave his people. Shenotein Erech Apayim L'Rishoyim. Ve'elu Hein Nora Otav. And you know how you see the awesomeness of God. Shel molim erosh shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not for the fear of God. Heich uma achas yechola l'kayim bein ha'umot. How does this one little nation continue to survive amongst the nations of the world? If you want to see the awesomeness of God, that's where it is. The survival of the Jewish people. Then the Gemara asks, what gave Yirmiyahu and Daniel the right to leave out the word Noro or the word Gibor? Moshe Rabbeinu had said, Hakel HaGodol HaGibor HaNoro. Who gave them the right to delete it? Delete. Who gave them the right? The rabbis, Yirmiyahu and Daniel, how did they do this? V'okri takonta, and they uprooted a takona that Moshe had made? Amar Rabbi Elazar, what a powerful, powerful answer. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, Mitoch sheyodin HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'amitihu, because they know that God is truthful. Lefichach lo kizvu bo. They didn't like him. Rashi explains, Yirmiyahu sees chorban. He sees destruction. He sees devastation. The Beit HaMikdash is in ruins. He doesn't see the fearsomeness and the awesomeness of God. So what's he supposed to be? Real from. Ah! Kael HaGadol HaGibor HaNora. But he doesn't feel it. He doesn't feel it. He doesn't feel it. So he'd be lying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if he'd say Nora. I'm feeling it. Daniel, if he would say Gibor, God is Gibor, it would be a lie. There is no mitzvah to say Noro when one looks at Auschwitz. What are you talking about? It's not Noro. It's the awesome Chilul Hashem of all time. Go be super firm and say, okay, la God, la Gibor, la Noro. Can't. Yirmiyahu is not a liar. He will not be untruthful with himself and with the creation, because he knows exactly how he feels. Daniel sees the terrible situation of the Jewish people, and that's why he can't say Gibor. God wants honest people, said it before. I once used this Gemara to explain some of the confusion of our own period in history. So I asked the following question. Was the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah greater than Yirmiyahu and Daniel? No. The difference between Anshei Knesset HaGadolah on the one hand and Yirmiyahu and Daniel on the other, they lived in a different period of history. They were already part of those who begin the return to Eretz Yisrael. Everything is beginning to look different. They're not standing at the smoldering ruins of the Beis HaMikdash. They're not looking at Jews who are enslaved. They see the dawn of a new day. Hope. When you look at it from that perspective, then you can say, okay, my God, all I give her, Vanara. From Yirmiyahu's point, you can't say it. From Daniel's point of view, you can't say it. The confusion, or maybe the glory, of our generation is that we lived through Yirmiyahu, Daniel, and Anshei Knesset HaGadolah in the short span of 3 years. Not 70, 80, 90 years. 3 years, from 45 to 48. We went from Churban to Golus to Shiva Zion. It's awesome. So they looked at it from different perspectives. I believe that this tefillah of Yirmiyahu is far, far different than any other prayer of all. Yirmiyahu knows exactly what God has in mind. God had told him, you're going to do this sale because this is going to be the prophecy. There are Od Yikonu Badim Besados Uchromim Beiratasals. People are one day going to buy and sell the houses, fields, and vineyards in this land. This prayer and the word Lihit Paleo also has a meaning of judgment, Beflilim, Rashi says in Mishpatim. I think this beautiful prayer of Yirmiyahu falls into the category of something that Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu HaNavi also did. He's challenging God. It sounds like a frummy prayer. Rabbein Shalom, you made the heavens, you made the earth, you did Isis, Omosim, Mitzrayim, Hain, Her. But there's one point that he's making. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor. Rabbein Shalom, I'm not saying no. Your fault. The absence of that word is a challenge that he's throwing at God. This is not a prayer, please, Rabbeinu Shalom. I'm so confused. I don't really understand what you have in mind. I don't know what's so difficult to understand. he can't understand a simple sentence in Hebrew. Which word didn't he understand? Kikor Hashem, so says God. Oh, Yikonu, Batim, Sados, Kromor. Which word don't you understand, Yirmiyahu? He's challenging God. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu tells God, if you destroy the Jewish people, do you know what they're going to say about you in Mitzrayim? God can't take them through the desert and he can't bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Shame, shame on God. He can't do it. Eliyo, the Har HaKarmel tells God, you are the one that made it difficult for Jews to serve. Gave them so much wealth that the wealth went to their heads. Yirmiyahu is challenging God. And it's a profound challenge. You know, a God who's been used to being called Hakel HaGadol HaGibor HaNora, his closest servant refuses to say Nora. This is an attack. And I want to show you. I want to show you that I believe what I'm saying has a measure of that I'm saying in all humility. I think it's very true. Because watch what's going to happen. It's not in the Haftorah. That's why I have the second page.
Could you clarify something?
Yeah, wow.
When you were talking the Gemara, did I hear correctly that they're saying that Hashem he's being
lauded
because he restrains himself from destroying evil?
Yes. Sure. Unfortunately, for the world to continue to exist, God has to restrain himself. Because would he crush evil as it rears its ugly head? There's no point in all of creation. And there's no point in having human beings. If the first moment that somebody does evil, God brings all of his wrath and his anger down upon them, then we can pack up and go back home. There's nothing left in this world. God is running a world in which he has to restrain himself. He has to remove himself. He has to contract in order to allow the world to continue normally. Because if God forbid, the moment somebody does evil, they're struck down, there will not be any evil in the world. And there'll be no point to man. It'll all be meaningless. So that means for a world to exist, he must restrain himself. He must be Erech HaPayim. He has to be Rav Chesed Ve'emes. There's no other way. Until V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, when God will be king over the whole earth, then Hashem echad u'shvar echad. V'olu moshim b'artzion l'shvotos har'esav, when all of mankind is going to be judged, when the end of history as we know it comes, then God can do all of that. But through the course of history, there's no such thing. We want evil to be punished and we want evil to be struck down, but the fact is that it just doesn't work that way, and it never worked that way, and it was never intended to work that way, because there would have been no purpose in all of creation. I'm going to take you on a shtickle journey, Allah. just follow him with the finger. I always say, you know, like my Rebbe told me, great one, I'm holding the finger. I'm going to read for you parts of the rest of the chapter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Yirmiyahu. And then you're going to see how I read the response. By the way, the response is here on the first page. The one we've just read, the Haftorah ends by Yidvar Hashem el Yirmiyahu, and while the word of God came to Yirmiyahu saying, Hinei ani Hashem el kei kol basa. I am God, the God of all flesh. Hamineni kolei kol dava. Is anything concealed to me? What do you think? That's how Yirmiyahu started his prayer. And he said, God, nothing is concealed from you. What's going on with you? What don't I know? So now again, next page. By Yidvar Hashem and Yirmiyahu Lemar. Hinei ani Hashem alakim kovos hamimeni yipoli kol dava l'chein ko amar Hashem. Ko amar Hashem. So I want to tell you, from this Ko Amar Hashem, which is Pasuk 28, until the end of Pasuk 35, there's going to be a litany, a listing of all the terrible sins that the Jewish people had committed. I'll run quickly. Hinei ani Hashem alakim kovos hamimeni yipoli kol dava l'chein ko amar Hashem. Into the hands of the Babylonians, and into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, and he will capture the city. The Chasdim who are waging war against the city are going to come to it, and they're going to ignite this city in fire, and they will burn it, and the houses upon whose roofs they brought incense to bow, the sichum is sachim with him achedim, and brought libations to other gods, the man hachim saying in order angry, ki hoyu b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yehuda achosim harab b'yeinai min yureyem b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yehuda did that was which is evil in my eyes from their youth ki b'nei Yisrael achmav chisim al tiv amasa yedei, they anger me with what they do. No, my son says God. Now listen to a pasuk that's just unbelievable pasuk, and I understand why this was not part of the Haftarah. Because this city has been to me a provocation of my anger and my fury from the day that they built it until this day, that I should remove it. I mean, God, what he says about Yerushalayim is unbelievable. I'm cold, Raz B'nai Yisrael, all of the evil, and I tell you, it keeps going and going. It's such a terrible description of all the things. And it goes till Lamed Hay. Now watch this. You see, there's a pause over there. Vata. Now, he's been pouring out all of his wrath and his anger. Vata. Now, you have to figure out how this is going to fit in. Lachain Kamar Hashem Alakesol, so says the God of Israel. Elohim Azos, to this city, Asharatem Omrim, that you say, Nitna Biyad Melech Bavo, has been given into the hands of the king of Bavo, Vachedevu Varov Vadeva, because of the sword, the famine, and the pestilence. Inini Mikatzon Mikol Ha'aratzot, I'm going to gather them in from all of the lands, Ashiri Dachtim Shom, that I sent them out, Vahapiu Bechamatim, and by anger and my wrath. Ubiketz of Godot, and with great fury, Vashivotim alamokam, I'm going to bring them back to this place, Vashivot shaftim lofetach, and I will establish them here in security. Vahayu lilam, they will be a people unto me, and I will be unto them as a God. Vinatap yilhem leiv echad, I will give them one heart for derech echad, and one way lead, oti, to fear me. Kol hayamim, all the days they will fear me, l'tolam, it's going to be good for them, but l'tanei machbein to their children afterwards. And I'm going to make an eternal covenant with them, that I will never turn away from them, to continue doing good for them, that my fear I will give in their hearts, they will never turn away from me, and I will be full of joy to be good to them, and I will plant them this land in truth, in my whole heart, my whole soul. See what's going on with that? I mean, is this precisely the exact opposite of what God was saying? I'll tell you how I understand. How I understand. Yirmiyahu has challenged God. Sorry, you're not Noah. You've done something terrible. This is not the awesome and fearsome God of all. Do you know what God's response is? God is pleading with Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, it's a terrible thing I'm doing. Please understand me. I want you to understand me. I can't help it. There's been such evil in this city. I can't help it. I'm torn apart. Not only do you have problems, I have problems. You're confused because I tell you to buy a field in land that has already been conquered. How do the two live together at one moment? I mean, like it's a stark contradiction. The city is being given into the hands of the Babylonians, and I'm telling you to buy real estate. So then you have to understand my suffering. Not only you suffer, Yirmiyahu, I suffer too. I suffer on the one hand because what can I do? I can't. I sent them day in and day out. Look what bothers me. The ato lochen. Lochen means therefore. Therefore what? Therefore God wants to say that whatever I've done, as painful as it is, was done out of profound love for a people that I can't wait to bring them back here. I can't wait to make a new covenant with them. Give them a new heart. Make sure that they will never turn away from me. That every the same confusion that's going on in the mind of Yirmiyahu is going on in the mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is defending himself because Yirmiyahu didn't pray to him. Yirmiyahu challenged him. Yirmiyahu says, I'm sorry, you're not Noah. You permit something of this sort to happen, that's not Noah. What's the dividend? Yirmiyahu's challenge of God is going to bring about something that was worth it all. It was worth it all. Watch. Kiko Amar Hashem. So says God. Kasher Hevet Yilham Azer Kol Haro Agadol Azo. Just as I brought all of this evil upon this people, Kain Ani Anochi Mevi Aleim Kol HaTova Asher Anochi Dover Aleim. I will also bring all of the good that I said about them. Now, listen. Listen to the promises that Yirmiyahu has elicited from God by virtue of the fact that he challenged him. You know what's taking place over there? There were two deals that were struck. Yirmiyahu purchased a field. You know how you do it in the Middle East? You know, little give and take. But God, with regard to the purchase of the field, that was the one place where Yirmiyahu doesn't bargain. Doesn't say, nah, I'll give you 5 shekel. No. 7 shekel and 10. No. He does it. Pays written full. But when it comes to the convention, you know what he's doing? There's going to be Middle East bargaining over here. You're just plain not Noah. That's all. God now wants to explain himself. And after he explains himself, listen to what he says. V'nikna hasodeh ba'oretz hazod, fields will be purchased in this land. Asher atem omdim, you say about this land, shmama, it's desolate. Me'ein odom v'heimon, no man or animal. You say about it, nitna b'yat hakazdim. By the way, God has a number of times said, nitna b'yat hakazdim. Because that hurt him. Yirmiyahu had said that. You want me to buy a field in this city or around this city that's nitna b'yad hakazdim? So Goshen gets back at him. Yeah, that place that's nitna b'yad hakazdim, one day they're going to purchase fields over here. Sadoz b'kesef yignu, they will purchase fields with money. V'chatom ba'sefer, and they will write it in documents, v'chatom and sign. V'ha eid eidim, and they will have witnesses who are going to witness the documents. Be'eretz Binyamin, in the land of Binyamin, u'besviva Yerushalayim, and around Yerushalayim, u'ba'ode Yehuda, u'ba'ode Ahor, u'ba'ode Ashvela, Yehuda, the whole Sharon, u'ba'ode HaNegev, and the cities of the Negev, ki yashuv et shvutam dum Hashem, because I'm going to bring them back. You know what he got out of the Rabbi Yishon? Not this vague, old Yikonu, Batim, Sados, Uchramin, Bartelin. Someday, they're going to buy fields and they're going to buy. No. You know what he gets from the Rabbi Yishon? He elicits from him a just as precise as his document of purchase was. He wants from the Rebbe Shlomo a very precise commitment. We don't want vague commitments. Someday that they'll buy real estate. He gets a commitment for every part of Eretz Yisrael, this city, Binyamin, the Negev, the Har, the Shvela. That's what Yirmiyahu wanted to accomplish. That's precisely what he wanted to accomplish. And you know how he accomplishes it? Because he challenges God. I'm sorry. It's because of his truthfulness that he cannot say when he sees Churban, it's, wow, God is so Nora. It's not Nora. Not Nora. I'm reading Rabbi Lau's memoirs or autobiography. I finished 100 pages. I think I cried for 100 pages. I tell you, I haven't had such sustained being choked up in a long, long time. And then little by little, I'll get one little piece into one share, another piece into another share. I look at that man in a completely different way, What he went through, it's unbelievable. I was probably one of the youngest children that survived the Holocaust. He was just before, I think, his 8th birthday when he was freed in Buchenwald in April of 1948. It's unbelievable story. And the only comment that he ever makes about the Shoah is, Lama, why? He doesn't give any pat answers. He doesn't say, well, it was Ritzon Hashem, it was Hashgach Pratis, it was Lama. There's one scene that had me crying like a little baby. His brother Naftali is the one who's 5 years. It's unbelievable, the mysterious nefesh. His mother told him, take care of Lulek, take care of him. And it seems at one point, after 3 years, 4 years, they're in Buchenwald, he's put in one side of the camp, of flowers, and another side, and the seven-year-old boy, he doesn't know how to read or write. Hadn't learned how to read or write. Or speak. I think he's done a pretty good job. I think he knows how to read. He knows how to write. He knows how to speak. He didn't know anything. He knew some Polish. Didn't probably know a Hebrew word. And there's a real fear that they're going to be permanently separated. So he calls them. They meet at the barbed wire. And at the barbed wire, he says to his younger brother, I want to tell you, you have to know that one of these days we're going to be freed. I don't know where I'm going to be. I want you to learn two words. Don't ever forget these two words. Eretz. Zog Eretz. Yisrael. Anybody's going to want to take you any place, don't go any place in the world. Just keep saying Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael. Don't go any place. Don't let anybody talk you into anything. Eretz Yisrael. I was a basket case when I finished reading that. And that's ultimately what happened. So he doesn't ask He doesn't say Nora. What are you talking about? You can't say Nora. Yirmiyahu can't say Nora. Can't say it. Can't say it. It's out of the question. It can't be done. There's no mitzvah to say Nora. We're in the position, of course, that we can say, okay, Lagodo, I give up on Nora. Yirmiyahu's tefillah was not a tefillah in the normal sense. It was rather Yirmiyahu challenging God, bringing him to a din teira, a din teira in himmel by the Rebbeinu Shalom. Why are you doing this? And therefore the Rebbeinu Shalom is on the defense. And in his defense, he gives this whole litany of sins that, you know, just sounds really, I'm afraid to say, boring. Anybody who's learned Yirmiyahu until chapter 32 has heard this, and Yirmiyahu has heard it over. Okay. If I did Yirmiyahu, I can imagine and say, okay, I know already. Let's get to the bottom line. Let's get this straight. The bottom line, of course, comes when the Revelation says, in Yerushalayim, Uba Siva, Yerushalayim, Uba Erez Binyamin, Uba Ode Yahor, Uba Ode HaNegev, Uba Ode HaSpela. As soon as Yirmiyahu hears that, he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, okay, you signed on the dotted line, that's what I wanted to get. Okay.
So Yeshua's product is fair, but he plays downstairs.
What?
Yeshua's product is fair. Including Mr. Scholio. Downstairs in the cafe area.